Captain Radio.
Well, my next guest, Dr. Marjorie Collins, is a clinical psychologist and neuropsychologist, and today she's talking to us about a concern I think we all have from time to time. Gosh, I don't remember their name. What is going wrong with me? Should we be overly concerned? Well, I think Marjorie's going to put our mind at rest. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us, Doctor.
Hi, Jenny. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, it is true, is it not? We all think, oh my gosh, what are we doing? How come I can't remember? I'm going downhill fast here. Not necessarily the case.
No, it's not necessarily the case. And I also experience the same things, but at least I know how memory works and I don't need to be so worried.
Well, I'm glad you're with us today to share it, because I actually spoke to somebody last week. I can't remember who it was now, but it was about the doorway phenomenon. Have you heard of that?
Yes, actually, I have heard of that, surprisingly, but I only learnt of it about a month ago.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it either, which was, as she explained, that the brain, when you're seated somewhere, I'd better go to the kitchen and get something. If you walk from one room to the other, the brain doesn't keep up with the new location or something and reconfigure it all. It's quite interesting.
It can be used to actually trigger memories if you go back into the room that you're in.
Yeah, that's right. That's interesting, isn't it? So it's quite slow. Okay, I won't hold up your time because it's very valuable indeed. You, of course, have said that there are many different types of memory. Can you just define those for us?
Well, our memory, I have to say, is a really absolutely fascinating thing. Most people just think of memory as just one thing, but we have visual memories, we have feeling memories, we have body memories. There's a scratch pad for our memory for just stuff to store temporarily. There's also long-term archives as well. There's what we call semantic memory, which is our understanding of things of knowledge base, such as what is the capital city of Australia.
Yeah.
And there's also episodic memory, which is, where did I park my car today?
That's a common one. The thing is, the brain is absolutely amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is actually far more powerful than most people give it credit for. Yes.
Now, forgetting isn't always about memory, you say, even though it feels like it.
It does. A lot of people might come to me and say, I'm becoming really forgetful, I'm really very afraid that I might be dementing and so forth. But in fact, forgetting can be just simply that we've got it in such busy lives that we've not really paid very much attention to where we've put the keys or what was the name of the new person that I was just introduced to.
Yeah.
But that can be actually just a phenomenon of attention.
Okay, yeah, that does make an awful lot of sense. I think the most common one would have to be remembering people's names, don't you? Is it because we're not interested or is it because we should have a technique to remember?
When we're younger, we can actually remember more names, but that starts to drop off around about the age of 20, so it's much earlier than we realise.
That is interesting. I was saying earlier today that my father couldn't remember our names. It was myself and two siblings, and he could never remember who we were.
Oh, did he start off with the eldest one and then just trip down until he got the right name?
Well, he forgot my name. He used to call me Squeaks. So that sort of covered everything. And I think he called up my brother Mate or something.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's probably a little bit unusual.
Yeah, I thought it might have been, or he wasn't interested, one of the two. Okay, now, if you could tell us a wee bit more about this, because there's so much information here about people getting dementia. There has to be something that's more defined, do you think?
Well, dementia is actually a slow process. So at the very beginning, it's really difficult to tell the difference between normal forgetting or whether or not this is something that's getting into the territory of a dementia process. It is not normal for people who are getting older to become demented. Yeah. That's an abnormal process. And over time, it can be things like, for example, we all misplace things. But somebody who misplaces things day after day or asks the same questions time after time, it would be an idea to go and get an appointment with their GP to get assessed.
Yeah.
Or getting lost in familiar places, that's something that's a type of forgetting that's quite unusual, which is associated with a dementing process, or losing track of the time or the season.
Yeah.
Or even actually forgetting words when you're in the middle of a conversation, just words that usually roll off the tip of the tongue that are actually quite difficult to bring back. Those are some of the signs of maybe this is not normal ageing and maybe this is actually a dementing process.
Yeah, that, what you've explained there does make an awful lot of sense. What about refreshing our mind and our memory bank? Can we do that?
We absolutely can do. Yes, in fact, working as a clinical psychologist, that's basically what we do in therapy. So people, when they come into therapy, they're really coming in with memories or experiences that are very difficult for them. And what we do in the therapy is essentially changing their way about thinking about these things, which is the same as changing the memory. Every time that we take a memory out of our long-term store and actually have another look at their memory, we're actually, when we put it back into our long-term store, we are in fact putting it back with the new information in the situation where we took it out.
Oh,
like whether it's in a supportive environment and so forth. So we encode new information with that memory and we actually change it in that way.
Oh, that's encouraging, isn't it? You do work with trauma. Post-traumatic stress disorder is a horrific thing for people to have to deal with. So can you? Is that what you were talking about? You can actually recondition it?
What we do is post-traumatic stress disorder is we explicitly work on the memories, which have sort of got stuck in processing in a way that they keep revisiting exactly the same situation that was traumatizing to them in the first place. So what we do as psychologists in therapy is we actually rework those memories so we can put them back into the storage where in a form that's no longer distressing.
Because, you know, sometimes memories can be visual even during the day. It can happen at night, of course, too. But, you know, have flashbacks of things that have happened that haven't been pleasant at all in your life. And that's a horrific thing to continue to live with, isn't it?
Yes, and that's actually one of the real characteristics of post-traumatic stress disorder. Those particular flashbacks are really actually cues in our present environment that trigger off the original traumatizing experience.
Okay.
And so those people will go back into feeling like they're back there and then in that situation.
But you can remove that memory of that situation or the trigger, can you?
We can actually settle the memory down so it's no longer distressing.
Oh, that's really good to know. As we get older, memory and learning new information, what can we do about that?
Okay, so as we get older, I have to say that our brains are very powerful. When we're younger, our memories are not as good as they are when we're older, which is really good news. We learn over time to actually remember all different varieties of information. One of the reasons that we probably don't remember from when we're really little is we go through a process as we develop of what we neuropsychologists call pruning of the brain around about the terrible twos and also in teenage years where information that's no longer needed, neurons in the brain that are no longer needed to support our cognition or our memories, they actually literally get pruned. And in that process, the memories, some of the memories can be lost from those times.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. And then as we get older, we've got so much in our minds, we do acquire more and more information over time. And one of the reasons it's more difficult to remember names or faces is because we've actually got lots in there to sort through.
I've often thought that. Gosh, how much more can you put in?
That's right. But we can also get rid of forgetting's a really good thing, in fact. We can actually forget stuff so we can put new information in.
My gosh.
But as we get older, our minds, probably because they're more powerful, I have to say, because I'm older, they get a little bit slower, but they're quite powerful as well. So we've organised things into the right sort of categories within our minds so that they can be remembered more effectively. But if we do things like look after our diet, exercise is a really good means of keeping our minds and our memories sharp, because it oxygenates the brain, for example, and also engaging in in our, with our friendship circles, and really interesting activities all keeps our minds active and therefore helps us to learn and remember new things into our older age.
Are we capable, as you know, the normal general public, to be able to sort of, you know, discard things we don't need in our brain anymore, or do that ourselves, or do we need professional help?
No, we can all do it. We actually all do it naturally, but it's only the professional help's only needed when you're actually having difficulty with particularly difficult circumstances. That's all. But okay, all of us do it naturally.
Okay,
yeah,
that is. I am so overwhelmed by this. This is incredible. Now, I mentioned the doorway phenomenon, and this last little piece you're mentioning here is if. Okay, you tell us about it. If you're scuba diving and you're wondering, tell us about that. Yeah.
Okay, so psychologists like to do lots of really interesting experiments, I have to tell you. And one of the experiments that they've done is actually looked at, are there particular circumstances where people will learn and remember things more effectively? And one of these studies, or actually a number of studies, they've taught people things when they've gone scuba diving, so they're underneath in the deep water, scuba diving, learning new things under the water, and then actually testing to see whether it's easier to remember that information in that same circumstance, or when they're back up on the ground, will they remember it just as well? And what we've learned from situations such as this is the state in which you learn something, or the environment in which you learn something, it will be much easier for you to remember it later on if you're in the same state.
It's a trigger, yeah.
Yes. For example, one of my students, she was actually a ballet dancer before she came along to study psychology, and she had real trouble with her exam. She always did well through the semester, but then during the exam time, her grades would slip quite a lot. So we had a discussion one day about how she was actually doing her study. And as a ballerina, what she was doing was she was learning everything while she was moving around and dancing and so forth in her home. But then when she came to the exam, you have to sit still. So she's actually in the wrong state to remember everything that she learned. So we taught her to just sit still while she was doing the last bit of her exam revision, and she did much better after that.
It wouldn't have been acceptable doing pirouettes, I suppose, answering questions in the exam room. No, I get that. I fully understand. This is really interesting, Marjorie. So you obviously are concerned, well, you're not concerned, but you look forward into more research and that sort of thing to try and work out the brain and how you can help people along that line. That is phenomenal. So if people get stuck somehow, they do need to know that something can be done about it, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of things that can be done about it.
That's right.
I mean, sometimes memory problems are due to physical conditions, such as maybe the thyroid is not working well, or you're drinking too much alcohol, for example. So there's a whole variety of situations to look at first to find out what's impairing your memory, if it's impaired, or whether you're just doing your normal forgetting and pruning of information that doesn't need to be there.
With people, and you deal with clients that have anxiety, have had, you know, experienced trauma and they have depression, that sort of thing, they get stuck, don't they? I mean, if you're feeling anxious and you start to have an anxiety attack, all these awful things flood into your mind, don't they?
Yes, until the point where it gets such a point where they can actually go blank as well. So, yes.
Incredible. Absolutely, yeah. Mate. So, Marjorie, thank you so much for that today. If anyone listening at the moment want to sort of find out any more, is there a website or anything that they can look up?
There are actually lots of websites. If you look up websites just simply with the keywords, what is normal forgetting, or what are better ways to remember things. There's also a great book called Memory Wise.
Okay, that sounds good.
Which is how memory works and what to do when it doesn't.
I think that's fantastic, because everyone's very aware of dementia, Alzheimer's, that sort of thing these days, and we do get a little bit concerned. You're absolutely right. Thank you very much indeed. Very interesting.
Okay, all right. Thanks for having me on, Jenny.
That's a pleasure.